Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Live in Vegas. Championship week with the madness starting next week. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard, Circa Resort and Casino was the spot. Big three-hour program lined up today. Tons of college basketball, as you would imagine. Mike Montesano coming up in an hour. He runs his own numbers, bets that he likes, and tournament bets as well. Matt Youmans in studio for a full 30 minutes today. We'll go over everything on tonight's card. Tomorrow, other tournament bets, Steve Wissocker and Mike Dettillier in 30 minutes. He is convinced that a player who signed with a new team has to be the week one starter at quarterback. Find out who that is at the bottom of the hour, Pauly. And we have a ton of games in action as we speak. In the ACC, Louisville at halftime leading Miami 38-37. The live betting number, the Ville, about a point and a half favorite here on the money line, $1.30. The total here is 154.5. They just played last week in Miami, and Louisville got them by three in a high scoring game. Arizona is absolutely crushing Central Florida. It's 41-21. Updated number 26.5 for Zona and 154.5. And the Auburn Tigers are leading Tennessee 20-16. With a win today, they're probably in, yeah?
Yes.
Because the bubble has been so bad?
Yes. Lenardi has them last team out. The door is open for Auburn. More losses yesterday, more losses the last week or so by all these bubble teams. Indiana is out, so the door is open for Auburn. And then you'd have to fade some bid thieves as well. He has New Mexico and Oklahoma. Lenardi also last four out. And they have opportunities to pick up some big wins. New Mexico probably has to win a conference tournament, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, because they play, I owe apology to San Jose State. What a job last night. They only won one game outside of Air Force in the conference all year, and they won as a 15-point dog.
You want to
So that's not going to do anything for New Mexico's resume, so they're going to probably have to win it now. But what a job by the Spartans to blow out Boise.
You want to talk about the definition of a bizarre and unpredictable, I think, conference overall. That's the same team, Boise, that just ended Colorado State's winning streak last weekend.
Uh-huh.
They had won eight straight.
Yeah.
The Rams did.
Yeah.
And then that's the performance. They lose by 10 to San Jose State in round one of this conference tournament. Come on, man.
Remember how they ended how they started the season? They lost to a D2 team.
That's
There wasn't a line on the game. their gym was at like an adult daycare facility.
Yeah. Good recall.
Yes, that's how they ended.
Oh, man.
That's how they started. That's how they ended. You get blown out laying 15 by a team that was 3-17 in the league.
Amazing. So I will point this out. At prediction markets, and I'll tie in what's going on right now with Auburn and also what happened to Miami of Ohio earlier today to begin the day, you can bet on teams to make, and as it's at one of them anyway, it is labeled men's round of 64 qualifiers. And that immediately got my attention. I'm like, well, hold on. We get 68 teams in. So, because I wanted to bet Miami to miss. And just the 68, just in case. I wanted to see what the number was, right? Their specific rules say that they have to make the round of 64. So if you're a play-in team, you have to win that game and then be qualified for the round of 64 if you bet the yes. That's why I kind of want to bet the no on Miami, is because it's still a plus price. A decent plus price at a little bit more than 2.5 to 1. I think there is a chance where this team is going to be in the play-in game now.
Oh, no.
I don't think they're going to miss the tournament. I think they're going to make the tournament.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's what Lenardi says, too. Because after they won last Friday and went undefeated, he said no worse than a 10. And now he's got them on the 11 line in the play-in.
That's right.
After the loss today.
And Bracket Matrix now, at last check, they were the last team on the 10 line. And if you get other teams like Auburn winning today,
okay,
well, that can shift things.
I would say they should be a 10 seed.
Oh, you think so?
Yes. That would be, if they have a sense of humor. And if they want to play games, I could see them matching them up against Auburn in a play-in. But that would be, to me, ridiculous that you have one bad 5-minute stretch. I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. It was a big number in play. They were up 9 with 7 minutes and lost the game. So they had been so good all year. And I would bet Auburn in play. I think they're going to win this game. They're up 7 late first half. They're only $1.30 on a money line. But I agree with Pat Forty and DeCourcy, who's been on the show. Mike DeCourcy said that they benefited big time by all these teams losing the last 2 weeks. Everyone around them's losing while they kept winning, and they're 31-1. And Pat Forty said, don't even bother. making an argument against. They're going to get in. But I would agree, but I would think it'd be unfortunate if they're in the play-in.
Yeah, so, okay, if you made that bet right now, again, you're getting, that can cash two different ways, one of which would be Miami doesn't even make the tournament, which, as you just said, there shouldn't even be an argument they should be in the tournament. But if they are put in, then the bet basically comes down to, do you think the committee is going to put them above an 11, or would they actually showcase them in the play-in game saying, okay, guys, we put you in. Your numbers say that you shouldn't be, but you're in. Now go out and win a game and prove that you belong to be here. And you got to go beat somebody like on that Tuesday or Wednesday night of next week.
Yeah, well, this is what helps him too. He has them ahead of Texas and ahead of SMU. They can't improve. Their season's over. They already lost. They've been knocked out of these tournaments.
Right.
So that helps them. He says Auburn's in with a win, but not at the expense of Miami of Ohio. They get in and they would pass SMU. Indiana lost. They're already done. New Mexico can't improve. They're playing a bad team today. Oklahoma could come, like Bruce Marshall said, and Bruce was fantastic yesterday. He said, watch out for Oklahoma if they make a deep run in the tournament. And that's he has them first four out as well. So fade the bid thieves and maybe fade a Oklahoma or someone like that coming out of nowhere, San Diego State winning multiple games in the conference tournament.
Sure. And if those teams in the SEC actually do kind of go on some mild runs here, mild to medium or maybe even better runs than that, like an Auburn team, I don't think they'd be in the play-in. I think there's a chance here if they would win like three games in this tournament or Oklahoma, it would be like teams from previous years where like a UConn or a Syracuse, they're not in, don't worry about it. Oh, hold on a second here. They won four games in 4 days. They're going to be a three seed. Never mind. I'm not going to go that bonkers with these SEC teams, but right now, again, prediction markets, the Auburn Tigers are a little bit less than 50% to get into the tournament. The field of 64 again.
Oh boy, they're up 11 now.
Okay. Let me get the latest number here on them.
Only 230 on a money line.
That escalated quickly.
Three and a half for the game.
The book that I'm looking at, they were minus 113 when you said get down in the money line. It's already moved a good dollar on this team.
Yeah. I thought Tennessee was laying too much to begin with, and Auburn has brought their A game today, knowing that the position they're in right now. So there's a lot of surprises here. You know, UNLV's let me down. I give Utah State credit.
They good start for the Rebels,
today.
But...
Yep, Utah State is locking them up defensively and making a lot of threes. So they were swept and embarrassed in both meetings. They're up 14 at the half. Miami now is taking a lead over Louisville. They bet that total down 5 points, 156 down to 151.5. That's high scoring. And as you mentioned earlier, Arizona could probably score 100 if they want to, 46 to 30 at the half.
Well, and look at this now. The Bonnies have pulled ahead of George Mason with under a minute to go. Mason was a team that people were making the case for at 30 or 35 to 1, and they went off as a 2.5-point favorite. That game, unless we somehow get an overtime, is going to go under by a good 20 points, close 143.5. It's 60 to 57 Woj bombs and Bonnies.
Yep. Send Schmidt out a winner. He retires at the seasons when the season ends, so this would be two wins for him. As a 13 seed. I believe they have the ball because they're such a huge favorite in play. Okay.
And
Wisconsin's playing well.
How about
that? Entertaining game. Wisconsin might score 100 tonight.
They have 72 with about 11.5 minutes to play. That is if that team is hitting, like you can say this about a bunch of teams probably, but they like to take a lot of threes and they have a lot of guys who can make them. When they are on, as we've seen by their record in the Big Ten, especially on the road, man, I can say this, right? Because they beat Michigan, they could beat anybody. Because they won at Michigan, they won at Illinois, and they won at Purdue. Purdue, I think, you can have them. No, thank you. I can't wait to talk to Humans about that game, by the way, when he is on the show a little bit later on tonight when they get Northwestern. Northwestern playing red hot. And by the way, what do you do with Indiana? How are they in?
No, can't be.
There's no way they can be in the tournament.
Bad. No, didn't win a game away from home since January and lost six of their last seven, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's... How about they've lost seven in a row to Northwestern in hoops? How about that? Rittenberg had a great tweet. We're living in a day and age where Indiana wins the championship in football and can't beat Northwestern in basketball.
Insanity.
Yeah.
This show is brought to you by Profit X, and right now you can win a free trip worth up to $10,000 during March Madness with King of March. Use the code VSINMM. Also, The Angle fought back last night in a big-time way. It went 2-0, had Lehigh in Georgetown, and tonight we're looking at, well, does North Carolina still qualify? It does. Oh, so North Carolina against Clemson qualifies for an angle play, as does UC Davis tonight.
Oh, Bruce's team. What a call.
Oh, come on. That doesn't get any better than that.
How are they underdogs? And they were catching six. They won outright. Bruce here.
And I like that we ran that by Rocco Miller at the back end of the show yesterday, and he goes, yeah, I live in the area. I know the conference really well. He goes, it doesn't make any sense to me either, basically, is what he said.
Thought Northwestern would beat Indiana, too.
Yeah.
Good calls, Bruce.
Oh, Bruce had great analysis yesterday. Very good job out of him. And Kentucky, that game, they covered somehow, and that game went over. They looked good in the first half, and they have now won two games in 2 days to advance in the SEC tournament.
Have you seen that number?
I have not yet.
11 and a half, 160 the total, 10 in the morning. Can they keep it close against the Gators?
Man.
These point spreads, right? I mean, I couldn't believe what Arizona was laying, but they
exactly right, Paul.
UCF's a tournament team, and they're up 16 at the half and laying 17 on a neutral.
I think the first tick I saw, Arizona was up by, 25 in the game? I think if you can find books to bet the largest lead in some of these games, they had to cash that already, I would imagine.
Great performance. Great job by St. John's, too. So what you're supposed to do. Don't play with your food. Come on, blow these teams out if you're the better team.
Yep.
Get onto the semis.
Yep. Up next, we got some live numbers with games coming down to the wire. Who they're going to face tomorrow based on games earlier in the day as well. This is Follow the Money live in Las Vegas from the Circus Sportsbook on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
A couple more things here on Miami losing today, Auburn winning against Tennessee, the bubble being a joke this year. What does that do to Akron future numbers here now in the MAC tournament?
Yeah, they just tipped off laying 12 and a half. And I think they were to beat Miami anyways, but now with them out, they remember they're 30 spots higher than Miami of Ohio and KenPom. So this it's right there for Akron now. To get the auto bid and make the tournament. They're laying 12 and a half, and they're going to be big favorites in the final against whoever they match up. They would have to get through Kent State, I think, in the semis in the 2-3. So that could be, but they just played them on the road and blasted them. So they've been they've been unbelievable down the stretch, blowing teams out.
So I'll bring this up again with prediction markets right now and how it's phrased at one of them, men's round of 64 qualifiers. That means if you're in the field, but you play a play-in game, you have to win to actually be qualified for the round of 64. Miami was almost at, they were higher than 80% today. They were 85%, I think, when they were leading during that game today. They're down to now 62%. It keeps dropping during the show. They were 75%, down to 65%, now 62%. And I think people are trading this and taking the no on it based on what I said earlier, and that is the idea that the committee either they don't put them in, which we think they're going to be in, or conveniently here, the committee puts them in the play-in game, and then they would have to win that game to actually be qualified for the 64. And Auburn is at 60%, up from 49% before this game started against Tennessee, and a double-digit lead against the Vols will do that to them. And we're getting tweets, one from Tripp on this, at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. The committee has to put those two teams together in the play-in. They have to give us that matchup. And that would be very exciting if they did that. And I'd love to see Miami of Ohio actually have their A game that day and beat them by like 10. That'd be awesome, but...
That sends a silly message. You go undefeated in the regular season, you're in the play-in? I mean, why play a regular season? Bad enough how we do this with the conference tournaments. So what happened to Navy and all these one seeds going bye-bye? Also, what's it going to take for the MAC to do the right thing, right? Tim Murray was on this weeks ago. What was the benefit of going undefeated and getting a one seed? You didn't even get a bye.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come out and play a 1-8 game at 8 in the morning on a neutral floor.
Yep.
I mean, it's like what happened when in the college football playoff 2 years ago with Oregon. What was the benefit of going undefeated? I got to play Ohio State in a Rose Bowl? Mm-hmm. I mean, I got no benefit here.
Right. So I would not bet Miami right now on the no. I think the numbers come down too far now because I'm plugging it in and $100 will get you like 271. It was earlier, it was like 358. So I think that ship has sailed on betting the no. I don't think it's going to come down much more than where it's at right now because at some point the value on the yes is going to be too good to pass down, to turn down with that team.
Well, I'll go with 40 into DeCourcy, who are adamant they're safely in.
Yeah.
I don't know why Lenardi changed course today, even though it was a bad loss. But I think the deeper dive is who are the last four in with the buys and safely. See, now he just moved it. Now he's got them last four buys. Now he changed it.
Mm.
NC State, Central Florida, Santa Clara, Miami of Ohio. Last four in Missouri, VCU, Texas, SMU. First four out, Auburn, Indiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma. I would think that would make more sense, that they shouldn't be in the play-in after the regular season that they had.
Okay.
And the message you're sending. So yeah, maybe he continues to tinker with it, but also a lot of stuff can happen in the next couple of days.
So games that we have, again, at the half right now, as Arizona, they were a huge favorite against Central Florida. They did their job in the first half. Right now they are up 46-30, in fact, at halftime. Assuming they hang on and they win this game, how good was Iowa State today, Paulie?
They've been great in the tournament.
Yep. Yeah?
They've been awesome. Great performances. So interested to see what that number is. And it'll be a good matchup in the semis with Arizona against Iowa State. And also it speaks to how dominant these one seeds have been. And again, the numbers and another numbers out. Ohio State tournament team, nice win, bad result for the books. They open a dog and went off the favorite. They beat Iowa. They are 13.5-point underdogs to Michigan to start the day tomorrow. Look at these point spreads.
Wow.
Man. And good job, Johnny Avello. The Toledo-UMass line is already up. Toledo is 3.5. 159.5 against UMass. And they bet a lot of those MAC games under today. And the Toledo undercashed. That was bet down 5 points. And we'll see what UMass has left in the tank after the emotional win today.
I'm doing a double check right now. Luke, can you confirm this? It doesn't look like Iowa State played Arizona in the regular season.
I thought they blasted them.
I don't know, man. I'm looking right now.
I thought they played a week ago.
I got it right now. You're exactly right. There it was. It was 73-57 Arizona. Yeah, not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. And the level of concern with these one seeds that we've talked about, it continued with Liberty yesterday. Liberty started off 15-0 in conference, and then lost a couple games, and they went out against the 9-seed Missouri State. And that other team that was so good for much of the season in action tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning, St. Louis opens up 6.5 against George Washington. George Washington had a big lead and almost blew it. They had to hang on and won by 4. So I think I'll take George Washington in that game, based on how bad, not only St. Louis losing games, but getting blown out. And remember, they were down big against VCU mm-hmm. before they came back to win.
Let me give you
that fracas with the Donnybrook.
Let me give you some trends that we have. Some of these games obviously have already been played. We're going to get other games a little bit later on tonight. This was a good one from Steve Mackinnon today in the VSiN newsletter and also on the website at VSiN.com. In the Big Ten, teams coming off of a bye, 25-14 straight up, but only 13-28-2 ATS. That was before last night. Indiana lost outright off the bye, did not cover. Iowa beat Maryland by 11, did not cover 11.5. So that is now actually 13-30-2 ATS. Iowa State, I checked at Ohio State today, did in fact get the job done off the bye, ATS and outright. And now you have Wisconsin again, another team off the bye, and they're up 75-62 right now, and they close about a 6.5-point favorite. And later on tonight, this comes up in about 2 hours. Northwestern gets Purdue. Purdue now 13, some books here.
That's too much, right?
That's what I think, too.
That's another team limping in. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
And I think San Diego State can win the Mountain West because it looks like Utah State's going to take out UNLV, and the Aztecs match up well against Utah State if that's the final. But 6.5. Ooh, Colorado State messed around last night against Fresno before pulling away. But that's, you know, plus 350 to win the conference tournament before it tipped off. But 6.5, that's crazy. That's too many points, too.
What do you have on the card a little bit later on tonight?
I think BYU's catching too many points. I think Kent State can cover. I think they'll cover lane 3.5. I like TCU plus the points against Kansas.
Mm-hmm. That's a good game last night, man. TCU and Oklahoma State.
Yep. They're playing games with the Clemson-North Carolina game. Clemson now favored. I think that can go over the total of 140.5. But like Thomas Gable said the other day, this is just hard because the numbers are spot on. Mm-hmm. The first thing I was looking at was New Mexico-San Jose State over, because San Jose State does play high-scoring games, even though they were a bad outfit. But they score and they give up a lot of points. And the last meeting against New Mexico had a ton of points. But they come up 152, and they bet it up to 155. So can't do that.
Yeah, I did play the Xavier-UConn game over. UConn is a massive favorite, 16.5. I have a little bit of a bad CLV in this game. I played over 151.5. That's now down to 150. Xavier played in another high-scoring game yesterday, 89-87. They got blasted both times that they played UConn. The first time, it was 92-60. That would go over the current number that we have. That was actually the second game. The first time, it was 90-67. Both games did go over 150. And hopefully, Xavier just tries to get UConn to play their game the entire time, and they have really bad defense, and UConn is able to score all day long, and Xavier tries to drag the game out as long as possible. So I'm on over 151.5 in that game. I think we can get points in Oklahoma A&M as well, but that's 159.5.
Uh-huh. Okay. I could see that, yes. And it was those games have been entertaining. And TCU, you liked it. I didn't think that'd be an over high-scoring game as well.
Yeah, I mean,
how TCU plays. That was an exciting comeback last night.
And again, as we talked about yesterday on the show, they have some really outstanding wins on the year. And Kansas is...
Yes.
Kansas is kind of like the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Like, yes, yes.
How do you handicap them from a game-to-game basis?
Oh, I love that team. I was more impressed with what Kawhi Leonard did last night than Bam. He was 15 of 20, because Bam just took a ridiculous amount of shots and free throws. Wasn't efficient. You know how Kawhi plays. He'll, like, take you down low, put you in the grinder, take threes, jumpers. Guy was 15 to 20 shooting. And they ran out the Wolves. This team is playing with a lot of confidence.
Can I say that Kawhi is, like, one of the biggest what-ifs we've ever had?
Yes.
He could have been the best player in the league for a five-year stretch.
Absolutely. And they bet that under 5 points in the Louisville game. Now it's tracking on pace to go over after Miami opening up a lead and a lot of points now, 155.5 the in-play. Follow the Money, brought to you by ProfitX. March Madness can take you anywhere in the world. The King of March is ProfitX Tournament Contest, where free trips are worth up to $10,000. It's up for grabs. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Keep winning in sets of 10 and keep earning entries. Download ProfitX now, code VSINMM. Become the King of March with the great promotion at ProfitX. Code VSINMM. Get it now. 10 plays. You can win $10,000.
Mike Dettillier, friend of the show, on the program next. He has covered the Saints and the NFL for a long time. He would be shocked if this quarterback wasn't the week one starter.
This is Follow the Money on VSIN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you can compete to become the King of March and win free trips up to $10,000. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. Right now we go out to the Progressive Guest Line, longtime friend of the show, does a great job covering LSU, college football, the NFL, the Saints on WWL in New Orleans. You can follow him on X at Mike Dettillier. Mike, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Hope you all well.
Back at you. Big splash on NFL day one of free agency for the Saints by adding running back Travis Etienne. He comes in. What'd you make of that move, and what does that mean for the future of Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, it's surprising because last couple years, you know, the Saints, they haven't shopped at Saks. You know, they've been going to Walmart on days three and four. So it's none of them type deals. But, yeah, right off the bat, you know, Travis is a piece of the puzzle. I've scouted and known Travis since he was 15 years old. He's from Jennings High School, a little bit to the west of me here in Louisiana. Speed back. He has really become a much better receiver coming out of the backfield than he was certainly in the high school ranks. He developed that at Clemson, and I think he's a nice piece of the puzzle. They still need to add another running back. This is just a gut feeling that I think we've seen the last. of Alvin Kamara in a Saints uniform. That's mm-hmm. just my feeling on it. And it may be a retirement for Alvin, to be honest with you. But he's a great player here. He's a bit of an outlier in that you think of, you know, most of the top running backs that I've covered in this organization. If it was as a kid watching Chuck Muncy or George Rogers, you know, Reggie Bush, Deuce McAllister, Mark Ingram, all those guys were first-round picks. You know, Tony Galbraith and Dalton Hilliard were early second-round picks. The Saints got Alvin Kamara in round three. And how big of an impact guy he was for this football team as a runner and receiver. But, you know, Father Time kind of rings your bell for, in any profession. And you can see Alvin's not been the same guy the last couple of years. And I think ATN would be a good piece of the puzzle, but they need another back here to alternate. And because not everybody's Saquon Barkley. Hey, you know, look at the Super Bowl champs all year long. Other than toward the end, it was Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet until Zach got hurt. You know, so I do think they need another one. But man, I really like Travis. I think he's a good edge runner, guy that can catch the football coming out of the backfield. He gives you the ability to make a splash play, and that's something as a runner that has not happened here in the black and gold in the last couple of years.
What'd you think of Tua going to Atlanta and if he'll start right away?
He ain't going there to watch. He ain't going to have no baseball cap on his head, and he's watching. He signed there because he's going to start. I would be shocked when they open up the first week in September that he is not the starter for the Falcons. I think he's the guy. He did not sign there to watch. He's going to be the guy for him. And I think he's a good fit in Stefanski's offense, which is a lot built on timing, touch, get the ball out quick. And, you know, Atlanta really has been built to run the football. Their offensive line. And then for years, you know, you had to go up against Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. And they gave you quite a 1-2 punch running the ball. And they set up play action because of the run. So I think Tua is going to be the starter in Atlanta, barring any injury on opening day for the Falcons.
You think there's going to be a competition, or do you think it's his job to lose? And as of right now, he absolutely has to be the starting quarterback.
I think it's his job to lose.
Okay.
I'm a big Michael Penix fan when he was at Washington. I don't know if this is the right fit for him in Atlanta. I'll be honest with you. And sometimes it does happen that way. But I do believe strongly that when Tua signed that contract, you knew he was not going to be there as the backup. He's going to be there to be the starter.
You are a draft guru. You know Ty Simpson. Do you think he can go in the mid-first round here?
I think he's a late teens, 20s pick in round one. Smart, efficient, throws a nice football, very catchable ball. He carried that offense for a big part of the season. Shockingly, I didn't think I'd live long enough to say this. Alabama didn't run the ball well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where for years and years, you know, especially under Coach Saban, they hung their hat on the ability to run the football. They could not do it last year. And Ty bailed them out. And they didn't have a great year from Ryan Williams. He's one of the star receivers in college football. He didn't play well last year. He was very inconsistent. Ty Simpson bailed them out time after time in games. So I think late teens into the 20s, this is a quarterback-starved league. Ty Simpson, someone will pull the trigger on him, I would say, from 18 to 28 in round one.
Okay, that's noted. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Mike Dettillier, WWL Sports in New Orleans, on the Progressive Guest Line. Do you think the Raiders absolutely have to take Mendoza, number one overall? Would you be interested in other teams trading up if you're the Las Vegas Raiders? What do you make of him overall as a prospect?
unless they get a Godfather deal, he's there. You know, he's the guy in for the Raiders. Now, there is going to be some fine tuning with him because he strictly played in a lot of RPO offense. So a lot of stuff over the middle, he didn't really throw a lot of that at Indiana. But and you see him and his ability to handle difficult situations. He's a tough guy mentally, physically, throws a nice football. He's got really good timing skills with his throws. He's the guy they build around for the next few seasons. No question in my mind, he'll be the first overall pick in the draft. Really, the draft starts at 2 with the Jets.
Yep.
That's where it starts. And if they pass on Arvell Reese, shame on them.
Okay, good. Well, there you go. Right. You answered my next question. If the draft was held tonight, he would absolutely have to be the guy?
If I'm picking two, I pick Arvell Reese. Okay, he was mostly used as an off-ball linebacker. Every once in a while, they let him run it off the edge. He's a freak athlete, and his pass rush skills are really good. The man upstairs only made so many people that big, that fast, that quick. Okay, and just a handful of them in this world. He's one of them, and despite how well he played last year, I think he is going to end up being a much better pro than he was as a collegiate. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
So he's got some special skills with him, but I would play Sikkim with him. Arvell, the guy that catches the ball, you go after him. You go after the quarterback and put him down real hard. And you think of the coach, I mean, Aaron Glenn, he has got to win.
Yes.
There is no tomorrow for him. He has got to be able to have some semblance of a defense that can stop somebody. And he's got some pieces of that now with some veterans and bringing in Minka Fitzpatrick and DeMario Davis. But you got to get a young stud up front. Arvell Reese would definitely be the three guys. I mean, the two guy for me. If I was picking for the Jets.
Fair enough. Mike, we love talking to you. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes today here in a busy offseason to come on the show today. We appreciate it. Enjoy the madness as well.
Thanks so much, guys. Y'all take care.
Back at you. Appreciate Mike Dettelier, WWL Sports in New Orleans. Follow him on X at Mike Dettelier on the Progressive Guest Line.
All right. Always opinionated, knows his stuff. Draft expert as well. Excellent. Wisconsin making this interesting. They were minus 3,000 in play.
It was just a one-point game.
Yeah, they made their free throws. Yeah, weren't they up? Oh, it's a one-point game again. Weren't they up like 12?
Oh, they were up doubles. Yeah, yeah.
I saw 3,000 in play.
I think it was 72-55, so that means if they...
Oh, wow.
Washington here has scored 30 points, or 25 points anyway, like down the stretch to get back into this game.
Yeah, something may have happened too. I think they maybe missed a free throw or turned it over because it's in place off the board. Up 1, 3 seconds. Follow the Money brought to you by ProfitX. 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 tournament games. Win it. Hit your goal and you're entered to win a free trip of your choice. Hit 1,000 in volume and you're in for the $5,000 trip. Hit 10,000, you're in for the $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go covered. Every additional 10 wins earns you another entry. Download ProfitX, create your account, use code VEASAN, MM, win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot. Only on ProfitX, go get it. VEASAN, MM is your code.
Win Some, Lose Some is coming up next, and we'll tell you how some of these tournaments have fared in recent years. How about higher than 61% with totals in this one conference?
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
UMass takes out Miami of Ohio, plus 250 on the money line, which was a lot higher in play. They were down 9 with 7 minutes and rallied to win. Lehigh wins the Patriot League, 11-1. San Jose State around the world. First half money line 4-1. Second half money line 6-1. Game 10-1. 15-point dogs beat Boise by 10. They were 3-17 in conference. What a performance by the Spartans.
That is such an awful job by Boise State.
Yes.
And by the way, look what happened earlier in the day. Air Force, absolutely god-awful. They lost by 100.
Mm-hmm.
And Boise State comes out there and they lay that kind of an egg, but great for the Spartans. Good job by them.
Yep. Can they do it again? They're catching 15 tonight against the Lobos. Ole Miss, 2-1. Took out Texas. Missouri State, 2-1. That one seed Liberty came limping in, and they can't even win a game. Northwestern, plus 230. Seven straight wins against Indiana. Great call, Bruce Marshall. UC Davis outright. Why are they underdogs? Why indeed? Plus 230. Bethune-Cookman, Prairie View A&M under. 153 down to 147. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram. Send them in. We'll put you on. This guy found a new bed and a place to sleep. Coming up there. Oh, yeah, in the washer. Or in the dryer, rather. Looks comfortable. Got my bed in there already. I got that, my blankets. He's got his little vest on. I'm set. Yeah, piece of cake. Nice and cozy. And that's it. I'm taking a nap. She's doing the laundry.
Nice little comfy homemade bed right there. Right in the middle of the dryer.
That's incredible to jump in there and say, it looks good to me. Nap time, all right? Look at the look on the dog's face as he sees bagpipes for the first time in Scotland. Look at this guy coming up.
This is so good.
Yes. Like, what is this? What's this noise? Never seen this before. His ears are perking up. He's doing the tilted head, looking at it sideways. But I've never seen this. Welcome to Scotland, lad. He doesn't know what to make of it. That's excellent. I've never seen that before. Strong. Look at his face.
He's back and forth the entire time.
What is going on? He can't figure it out. Lose some. Boise State started the season. They got beat by a Division II team that wasn't even on the board. And then they lose as a 15-point favorite to San Jose State to end it. And they were playing good ball.
Yeah.
West Virginia from 6 down to 3, not even close. Bad for the books. Toledo under, 154 down to 149. Buckeyes, plus 2.5, went off the favorite and beat Iowa. Utah State, 6.5 up to 8.5. I don't want to jinx anybody, but they're up 14 with 10 minutes. Wyoming from 5 down to 2.5. Rebels beat them by 3. And the under 158 down to 152.5. BYU West Virginia under 146 down to 140.5. Liberty Missouri State under 151 down to 142. BU Lehigh under 142 down to 137. Bad beats Cincinnati yesterday while we're on the air. Trying to play their way into the tournament. Up 8 with 2 minutes. Lost the game in overtime. And that puts Central Florida in. And they are down 14 against Arizona. And a bad beat in the Players' Championship. At numerous sports books, the most bet-on golfer, after the first hole, his tee shot on 11, Morikawa withdrew back injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's action. That is tough.
I think at least 3 different books refunded.
They did?
I have Morikawa top 10, where I bet it. I'm 100% sure it's going to be a loser. One hole. Hey, that's part of gambling.
The karma committee, yeah.
I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to beg for them to give me my money back. Yeah. That's part of the gig, man.
That's right.
Also, it's frustrating because that's now back-to-back weeks I've had a golfer withdraw.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
He said everything was fine in the pregame swing and on a out there warming up, everything was fine, and then he felt something on the tee shot.
Just tweaked it, yeah. I got a tweet, I think it was from Tom earlier today. That's now 4 golfers he's bet on recently that withdrew from the tournament.
Was it Knapp 2 weeks ago, too?
He didn't give me the details, but I mean, it's brutal. You almost want to get off betting it for a minute.
Founded in 2011, the Sharp Plays is on a heater, and 15 straight years of winning, all documented. Records posted publicly, sharpplays.com. Separates the most from the betting industry with their full performance auditing. When they move, books take notice. Advanced AI tools, the trusted insider intelligence, identifying price value before the numbers shift. Connected sources, the Robinhood plays as well. Respected, watched, feared. Look for the Mr. Poison tweets. Start winning. Sharpplays.com and win with them. Jeff and the crew are excellent. Sharpplays.com.
Wisconsin hung on 85-82. They were up by 18 in the second half. And Washington cut that lead down to one, I think, several times.
What is it? What is it? What's with the blown leads? Is it handle pressure? Is it trap, press?
I would think, right?
You relaxing? Get a tight. What is it? I don't get it.
Combination, all that.
It's
that
out game, of control.
Yeah, unfortunately, that game wasn't on here. That might have been a Peacock game. If I'm wrong, I apologize for that. Either way, maybe your team gets hot from three. The three is a great equalizer. You know, a team like Oregon the other day, live on the show.
Yeah.
Well, they have 11 points at halftime or whatever it was. They couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. And it's like, that probably won't continue. And they came roaring back and, you know, they lost by 10, but they covered that second half number and they scored way more points in the second half. Let me give you this. The Johnnies looked awesome today in the first half, took care of business, and they eventually covered against Providence. They'll get Seton Hall, who won today by 11, so they covered.
Well, the Bonnies won that game.
They did, yeah. They beat George Mason.
Okay, and a good job. The number's already out. Dayton, 6.5.
Rick Pitino is 26-6-1 ATS in conference tournament play since 2009. He's covered 7 straight, 18-2 ATS in the Big East tournament in that span. Great tweet there from Evan Abrams. He's the man.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the reason why I thought the number was too good to pass up, plus 210 for a half a unit to win the Big East. And I don't think this is going to get there, but a guy can dream. I have them like at 16-1 to make the Final Four. Some other numbers, courtesy of Steve Mackin and vsin.com. He has dynamite trends, recent years in these tournaments, every day, every week, doesn't matter the sport. This is in the SEC. Now, Kentucky covered. That game went over today. So of the last 32 SEC tournament games, as he writes, expected to be highly competitive, favorites of 3 or less, 20 have now gone over. The Kentucky-Mizzou game got there earlier, and you have Oklahoma A&M. The Aggies laying about 2, 2.5. And that total has been bet down, by the way, for tonight. But that would qualify in terms of something that has gone over at a really nice rate in the SEC in recent years. In the ACC, big favorites of 5.5 points or more have been very good as of late. Entering this tournament, they were 61-8 straight up, 40-28-1 ATS since 2015. Virginia got there already. Duke later on tonight. And lower total games in the ACC tournament, 140 points or fewer, gone over at a nice clip, 63.6% since 2016. Over is 35-20. Clemson, North Carolina, they have a total tonight below 140. And that point spread has been toggling back and forth much of the day. Great numbers. Yes. I highly suggest you go there. Bookmark them every single day at vsin.com. Is there a live bet to make right now? Arizona, not doing much here in the second half. They're clinging to a 15-point lead. So they have not been able to expand the lead. And Central Florida not getting blasted as we speak. And Tennessee has it down to 8. That's pretty much been the score here now for a long time, the way it feels in this game against Auburn.
The Gala off to a great start. Jeff Seeley's bomb. He's 2 under through 10, tied for 12, 3 shots off the lead. Maverick McNeely.
Oh, hold on. Thigala was 3 under through 5, I believe, today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. In the mix. Good leaderboard. JT, Henley, Finau, Aubert, Fleetwood, Hovland, Straka, all a couple shots off the pace. Adam Scott's up there, some big names. But if this holds, McNeely will be your first-round leader.
He's got it right now solo.
Yes, more bogeyed.
Tim responds again on X. He's listening right now. He said withdrawals in golf by Morikawa, Knapp, McIlroy, and Zalatoris.
Ooh,
I had the Zalatoris one as well, but that was a brief one because that happened before the tournament started again.
We don't have a lot of games going on right now. I don't have anything in play. I do think we're getting carried away with this Grand Canyon game coming up. Great program, jump to the Mountain West, great season. They're taking on Nevada. It opened 1.5, they're up to 3.5 in the 4-5 game. That seems a bit much. And the total seems kind of low, too, at 137.5.
Okay.
That's a good game.
All right. Well, up next, we're going to have a guest on the program who has a bet on a future to win it outright in the Mountain West Conference. It's been cut in half because of what happened last night. Mike Montesano on the program. He's got some best bets for today, and he'll explain that the rollover parlay is usually going to be better than outright odds. That is until upsets happen. We'll kick that around and get his best bets for tonight's card coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.